This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Climate change is not some big future problem. Climate change is happening right now. It's happening here in Michigan in a lot of different ways. And University of Michigan researchers have been looking at what's changing and who's most vulnerable to that change. Joining me now is Trish Coman. She's a research investigator at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I was looking at the interactive map that you guys have designed that highlights different aspects of climate change, impacts of climate change in Michigan. And, you know, a cursory glance seemed to show our biggest issues are where most of the population lives, the cities, the southern half of the Lower Peninsula. What's happening in urban areas?
That's right. So there's really three things that we have in our map that relate to urban areas and climate change. We're looking at heat stress vulnerability. And so we know that there's a heat island effect. So if you think about dark pavement, lack of tree cover, those sorts of things, that absolutely will increase people's risk of heat stress. And so we mapped that. We also look at the population and their susceptibility. So we think about where are children, where are the elderly, where are people who may be isolated, which is a risk factor for having health effects related to heat. And so we put that together with some climate modeling to show where different communities might be more at risk.
So climate change and climate modeling, it's a global attempt, but how do you get it small enough that you can actually look at a state and kind of get some indications about what might be happening or what to look for?
Yeah, you know, people think about climate change as being far away or happening somewhere else, but it's really right here in Michigan. And we can show that through these maps, and people can really relate to that, I think. The community groups that we were working with when we first started this project are really concerned about a number of local issues and want to know, okay, if we're changing our housing to think about affordable housing, how can we be more resilient and more climate ready? And so our maps are an attempt to try to get people talking about this and also, you know, really thinking about where are the most at-risk areas and how do we really be sure that any types of solutions are going to work for everyone.
Now, several cities in the state have climate change action plans. A lot of them have to do with mitigation of greenhouse gases, but you're looking at something else. You're talking about how do we protect the vulnerable people in vulnerable areas. So are the cities looking at that as well?
Well, we're hoping that they will be looking at that more and more. But I know from separate research that I do that local government is not looking at this, unfortunately. So despite the changes in weather patterns and climate that are coming that will affect precipitation and heat and our lake levels and many factors, local governments haven't quite yet engaged on this broadly. We need to do more, and there's certainly some great leaders in the state of Michigan working on this.
Now, as you mentioned, you know, we have these high heat stress days. We also have more fast storms that cause flash flooding, and unfortunately, the most vulnerable, the most poverty-stricken people live in a lot of these low-lying areas that are done. So it seems like our most vulnerable population is going to be affected by the thing that most of us say, oh, it's not really going to affect me. My house is on high ground, and I've got air conditioning. So how do you get people to think differently, especially those local government folks?
You know, that's a great question. We've been doing a lot at the School of Public Health to try to raise awareness about this. And I would say this, you know, I think about this in a real personal kind of way, that we are all connected. And we know from the data from, for example, the Chicago heat event.
In 1995, right?
Yeah, where, you know, a lot of people died and went to the hospital. And it's a similar city and similar, you know, kind of climate to what we're experiencing in Michigan. And that those sorts of events are going to happen more and more frequently. That affected everyone. And it's also the case that some of the areas that had the best results, fewest people died, were also poor and communities of color, but they had social connection and they had an ability to take care of one another. And so it's really, we're all in this together. And if we want Michiganders to all have an opportunity for, you know, having the best and most healthy life, we really need to be developing ways in which we're developing more connectedness with each other, especially for our elderly, for our kids, for workers. All of those groups are vulnerable to heat stress.
Now, We've been talking about urban areas primarily, but you have a map across the state of showing vulnerable areas. Define a vulnerable area for me.
Yeah, so we basically had a number of variables that we combined in these three groups, and then we looked at the most vulnerable versus the least vulnerable areas. And we split them up by place, people, and temperature, because sometimes the groups that are involved on place are different from the groups that are, say, doing social service work with children or the elderly, et cetera. So you could think about road building versus social programs as being separate. But I think that the main point, when people look at the susceptible population map, you'll notice that it's a very different pattern because people are all over the state and they can be vulnerable within a community that otherwise is not so much at risk. And it's really important that we think about how to prepare for the future and for the heat effects that are going on today as well.
President Trump and his administration deny that the climate change is happening. And if it is, it's not our fault. There's nothing we can do about it. And you're trying to kill business when you talk about this stuff. And that's trickling down to some local officials. And I'm wondering if that's causing a barrier for research like yours to get to the places it needs to be to make action plans.
Well, climate change is real. It is happening. There are consensus in the scientific community. Last year, I hosted some of the authors of the National Climate Assessment to come to Michigan to talk about the science and what it means for health. I think that communities have opportunities. And when I talk to the community groups that are working with us, they see opportunities for jobs in the green economy. And they want to be a part of that. And they want their communities to be accessible for everyone. So there's an opportunity as we're making some of these changes to get ready for climate change and to mitigate climate change for more opportunities for people. I think it's wrongheaded to think that we can just ignore it.
I was looking at your interactive map, and I was thinking, this is great stuff, and I wanted to know more about other risk factors because of climate change, like what's going to happen to agriculture? Will that cause problems? What about invasive pests? Is there other climate modeling and climate maps, interactive maps, that you can do that, you know, you can find the data for?
Yeah, so at the University of Michigan, the Great Lakes Integrated Science Assessment Center, GLISA, helped us to get the climate modeling that we used. Certainly, they have a county-by-county level map showing the upper Midwest. We wanted to go at an even finer scale and think about it from a health perspective. Certainly, the National Climate Assessment has documentation and chapters talking about health and other effects. But I think when you start moving into the community and talk to people, what you'll find is farmers recognize that there's been some changes in precipitation, that things are getting different. You'll find that people who are in the marine sector are finding that lake levels and things are happening that are different. Everybody's noticing it. And so I think that taking the community knowledge and the science together will help us to create solutions. And we really wanted to show patterns so that we can target the approaches we need to take to the most vulnerable areas and to be sure that they're not left behind.
So this looks at what's happening. You're talking about adapting to these changes, but you know, we hear a lot about maybe we can do something to slow these changes.
That's right. And we really need to urgently think about our options for mitigation. We need to be reducing greenhouse gases and other climate forcing chemicals. We need to be reducing CO2 now. One of the things that people don't recognize is that unlike regular air pollution that we're familiar with, carbon pollution stays in the atmosphere for a really long time. And so the decisions we're making now and our CO2 emissions, those concentrations are around for 50 to 1,000 years. And so we need to be thinking about making changes and reductions now for ourselves and for our kids. We have an obligation to try to move forward in that direction.
Tell us where we can see your maps.
Yeah, our maps are available through michiganview.org. This is a partner with Michigan Tech Research Institute, and we're really pleased that we can present this information.
Trish Coleman is a research investigator at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.